nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the show. Travis here today with Asha Curran, founder, CEO, and visionary behind Giving Tuesday Movement. How are you doing today, Asha?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. It's early February when we're recording this, just to give a little context to coming down from the holidays and the election and the massive Giving Tuesday we had in December of 2020. Asha, give us a little behind the scenes about Giving Tuesday, what it is, and how we got here.
All right, go back to the beginning.
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Well, Giving Tuesday was created in 2012. So we are going to be entering our 10th anniversary year pretty soon, which is crazy. It feels like it's both very, it's been a really long time. It's been a really short time. I think we have accomplished a lot. There's been a lot of impact. And then there's also such tremendous potential for future growth that it's such a wonderful thing to be able to work on. So in 2012, it started as a really simple idea. Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday. It was positioned very much as a day to give following 2 days of consumption. And it was, you know, it was pretty US focused. I think just because we didn't really have any idea that it could possibly go global, that wasn't even within the scope of what we were imagining at the time. My co-founder, Henry Timms, and I worked at the 92nd Street Y, which is a New York cultural and community center. And we launched Giving Tuesday within like 2 months of him first thinking about it, which was a really exciting time. And the way that we did that was just to think really collaboratively and really in unorthodox ways about how we branded it and how we thought about the use of social media and how we thought about the use of which causes and which issues and which nonprofits and which people could be involved, and really wanting to make it as big a tent as we possibly could and wanting to make it open to everyone, whether that was a cause that we particularly felt aligned with or not, didn't matter. And then, you know, what happened was just that in that first year, people just really loved the idea and did really cool things with it. And organizations, you know, both large and small, were really creative, really innovative, really collaborative around it. They thought of new names for it. They thought of creative campaigns around it. So that was all really wonderful to see. And then over the next couple of years, a few things happened that we just hadn't anticipated in the least, which were it started going global. So now Giving Tuesday exists in 75 countries. So we don't really even talk about the Cyber Monday, Black Friday connection anymore, because that just doesn't make sense really in a global context. And it was, you know, really nonprofit focused in the beginning. Nonprofits still do amazing things with it, but now we've really broadened our scope to also just, it's really just people, right? It's people, it's families, it's schools, it's religious institutions, it's academia, it's think tanks, it's tech. It's really like everybody is kind of in on the action of Giving Tuesday at this point. So it's just a really extraordinary global movement and has grown, you know, by leaps and bounds every single year. Our small nonprofit is what we think of as the nucleus nonprofit of the global movement. So we have 20, 25 people in our nonprofit, and we exist to amplify and support and facilitate the work of the millions, literally millions of nonprofits and millions and millions and millions of people who are engaging with Giving Tuesday, both on the day and year round. So on last year's Giving Tuesday 2020, which fell during the pandemic, there was $2.47 billion donated in the 24 hours of Giving Tuesday alone. It's a really extraordinary amount of money, especially given that those are largely, almost exclusively grassroots givers, people who are giving 100, 150 bucks. And then in addition to that, all of the stuff that is much harder to count, you know, giving in kind, giving in advocacy, giving to neighbors, like, you know, giving kindness, like the kind of giving that is really hard to roll up into those numbers, but is just as meaningful.
I think it's wonderful. You've got that global movement with really that local impact. And, you know, so many times we hear about nonprofits in different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And you're like, well, I want to give to what they're doing, but it doesn't really impact my community. And what you've done is created this movement that just really encompasses everybody and the heart and spirit of giving itself and allows people to make an impact in their own community with it. And I understand you guys have like media kits where people can go and download the templates and Facebook little overlays and different things that they can incorporate into their own organization, which I think is just really cool.
We have toolkits for everything you could think of, everything under the sun, we have a toolkit for. And that was really our idea in the beginning, was the toolkits are not like, here's how you have to do this. It was just, here's how you might want to get started. Here are some ideas. If you're kind of drawing a blank, don't use them entirely. That's totally fine too. Do your own thing, or use them as a springboard to do much more creative things. But we do try to be, you know, as helpful as we can be. The very first year of Giving Tuesday, we partnered with the UN Foundation, who just had this amazing communications team. And one of the things that they put online was a sample press release for people to be able to pitch what they were doing for Giving Tuesday with their own organizations or their own, you know, just their own selves, to their local TV channels or their local papers. And it was literally just a template press release for, like, you know, really small, under-resourced organizations who may not have a comms team or the ability or to do, you know, history of pitching themselves to local media. And people used it in droves. And we remember that on that first Giving Tuesday, somebody sent us a clip of, like, this young man, I don't even know where he was, Kentucky or somewhere, on his local morning show, like, talking about, you know, Giving Tuesday and the things that they were doing for Giving Tuesday. It was so amazing and inspiring to us. Like, somebody, we didn't even know him. He'd never even had, you know, he'd never had the need to reach out to us directly. He had downloaded this thing. He had used it. It worked. He got himself a spot on, you know, his local morning show, and it helped his Giving Tuesday campaign. So that sense of what we call co-ownership or co-creation, which we've had really since the beginning of Giving Tuesday, is one of its most important elements. This isn't, you know, a franchise idea that people take and have to use some kind of style guide or follow a bunch of rules and guidelines. It's really an idea that we're open to people taking, as long as they're going to do it for good, right? As long as they're going to use it for good, we're really open to them doing whatever feels meaningful to them with the idea.
Yeah, no using this for evil. I don't know how you could twist that idea, but no evil here, only use for good. I absolutely love what you're doing with this. And it's, I mean, it's really not about you, which is so magical to me. It's not about you at all. It's not like you get a portion of everything that comes in or anything like that, but you're out there creating partnerships. And I understand that Facebook does, like, a donor matching up to a certain amount. I mean, do you know how that works behind the scenes at all?
Sure. Yeah. No, we don't take a penny. There's a common misperception that all of the money on Giving Tuesday somehow goes through our platform, and then we take a cut of it and then distribute it to nonprofits. And of course, that's not so at all. People give through whatever platform, whatever nonprofit they want. Everybody gets the money directly. And yes, we have lots and lots of partners from all sectors, including big tech. Facebook has been a partner for Giving Tuesday for years now, and they've done a $7 million match for several years now. You know, they also do sort of a lot of awareness building, you know, put the idea that it's Giving Tuesday in everybody's news feed. So a lot of people still haven't heard of Giving Tuesday. So that's really helpful. So yeah, everybody sort of gets in on the action. And of course, Facebook fundraisers is a big thing now. So many nonprofits are there anyway. You know, doing the match is a good idea. You know, if they increase that match to 50 million, I wouldn't object. I think there's plenty of nonprofits who would love to get a piece of that action too. And especially at a time when, you know, nonprofits are so under-resourced right now, even with giving up, their giving is so great that increased giving is still not meeting all of that need. So I think that we all, businesses and government and individuals alike, need to step up to support the nonprofit sector.
Oh, absolutely. And if your numbers are any indication, giving is on the rise. I know I talk to a lot of nonprofits all the time, and the ones that I've talked to that kept campaigning and kept fundraising and still delivering services, they had record years. They might have lost the $250 in down or $500 in down donations, but they gained $1,000, $5,000, $20,000 donations. And it's so great that, you know, even in time of struggle, we tend to come together, whether it's in a community or worldwide, depending on what flag you're flying under, and working towards that common good. And that's really what it's all about. How can, like, startup and nonprofits maximize their impact through Giving Tuesday?
I mean, just speaking first, sort of from a general point of view of what we've seen during the pandemic, we have indeed seen that giving is up. People are absolutely feeling generous. That, you know, that doesn't mean that every nonprofit is going to have exactly what they need now, right? And that there is financial strain and everything. But the biggest mistake we've seen nonprofits make during this time, and I guess the chief piece of advice I would have for how nonprofits could maximize Giving Tuesday or any other giving opportunity, is not to back down right now, right? What we see that concerns us is nonprofits saying, well, we just want to be really sensitive because people are experiencing such financial stress, right? Or there, you know, there's so much economic anxiety, or, you know, we run a nonprofit organization that does that is not like a direct responder. We don't feed hungry people, or we don't support frontline workers. And so it's not sensitive of us, or it's not politic of us to be asking for financial support right now. That's a big mistake. It's actually, you're doing people a favor by giving them an opportunity to give to you. You know, you're doing people a favor by getting out there and making your case for support. And that includes all civil society organizations, right? You know, use arts and cultural or performing arts organizations as an example, right? Those organizations, what I've seen, have been doing amazing things in pivoting during the pandemic from doing obviously like in-person performances or concerts to doing online performances or concerts. The effect of that is twofold. First of all, they are democratizing that content, right? Like people who were not going to the opera or to see jazz concerts or to see plays before are for the first time seeing that content because it's right there in their homes and they have access to it. And I think like that's incredibly meaningful on a societal level. And then just the mental health benefits of having access to music and art and beauty are not to be discounted, right? And at a time when people are experiencing such anxiety and in some cases such depression and such isolation, that's an incredibly important service. So that's just one example of organizations that, you know, are not like giving vaccinations and they're not, you know, working in hospitals and so forth, but they're, what they are doing is really important work. So we just keep telling nonprofits, don't retreat, right? Stay out there in front, making the case for support because it's really important and because people are highly motivated to give right now. They're highly motivated to give, not despite the fact that there's a pandemic, but because there's a pandemic and our innate desire is to help our community, our neighbors, and our world. And I think there's also something to how divided people are feeling right now because of all the obvious reasons that we feel sometimes we're living in two completely different countries and that each side is really demonizing the other. There is something about generosity that also really helps bridge that divide, that really helps bring people who want to do good together into the same space, even if they're not aligned on other political or social issues. So people who don't want to do good are not going to come into that space anyway, regardless of where they're coming from, right? People who do want to do good come in all stripes, and there is generosity, and Giving Tuesday certainly is a common place for people who want to do good together.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you brought up the arts because I have tons of friends, you know, in the music and the arts and different things. And they're loving these opportunities because not just because, you know, like they aren't doing anything in their house, but like it gives them a chance to practice and keep their skills up. Like, so having your buddy who's a musician that maybe can't go perform right now, having them come on to your space to do an online free event is a benefit not only to you and the production and giving your fans something to look forward to, but they all get the chance to practice and keep their skills up and keep going because that is a skill that you must maintain. So there's value to be had everywhere.
A win on all fronts. Yeah, absolutely.
If you only ask, it is just a huge win. So we know you started small. We know this was just a really good idea that went global. You know, what do you think the kind of key ingredient is that turns a project into a movement like Giving Tuesday?
I think there's a few different things that turn a project into a movement like Giving Tuesday. We used to say it's not a movement until it moves without you. So I think that first idea that I mentioned of co-creation or co-ownership is really important. If you engage a bunch of people in an idea and they feel like they partly own that idea, that's going to be very different than if you simply start an initiative and people feel like they took part in the initiative and then they kind of move away. If you feel like you're really sharing part of the vision and that you're really key in helping that vision move forward, then you're going to feel much more of a sense of ongoing engagement with it. So we have a global community of over 75 country leaders, over 250 US community leaders, and even more people who are leading different regions or cause coalitions. Each one of them is doing the work in their own unique way so that Giving Tuesday in, you know, Big Bend looks like Giving Tuesday in Big Bend and Giving Tuesday in Kenya looks like Giving Tuesday in Kenya, et cetera, et cetera. They're very, very unique, but at the same time, they share a unified vision for a more generous world. That's what makes it a movement, that everybody is doing the work, but they're doing the work unified by the thought of moving towards something together. And especially, I think, moving towards something that is a really ambitious vision, right? Like the people who make up the Giving Tuesday community are not, they're not united by a vision of a world with 3% more donations, right? They're not united by the vision of a world like with where nonprofits are 10% more efficient, right? Like they're motivated by the vision of a really completely different world that is fundamentally reshaped by the value of generosity, which is a value that all human beings share.
Oh, I definitely agree. I'm still active duty Navy. And when we talk about the mission and the things that we do, there's one thing about getting the mission done. There's another thing in framing it in such a way that everyone involved in this is taking ownership of the mission and what it means to them personally. There's nothing quite like it when everyone has a little piece of that they can rely on for themselves and move forward with. So it's not to say that, you know, this is Asha's movement. This is your movement. And here's a way to help us work together towards the global good. I just love this.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because one of the cool things about this idea of co-ownership and this shared mission idea is that some of the best Giving Tuesday have not come from us at all. Some of the good things have come from us, but many of the best things just are kind of arise organically out of the community. And one of our jobs is to notice when things are happening that are like really amazing or meaningful or have really high potential. And one of those things has been Giving Tuesday Military. So these three military spouses, you know, heard about the idea of Giving Tuesday. They had really, like, their whole mission was to bring good and kindness and so forth to military bases around the world. And they launched Giving Tuesday Military, and they've been one of the best parts of our movement for the past couple of years. Their vision was to inspire a million. This was the first year that they were involved. Their vision was to inspire a million acts of kindness on military bases all around the world. And they had military bases, you know, from Okinawa to, you know, Hawaii to all over the place, just all over the world involved. And it was really magical because the military bases are such an existing network, right? Like an existing close-knit network that where ideas can be spread relatively quickly. So they've been amazing. And another similar example was Giving Tuesday Kids. There was a little girl in Oakland, California, who was doing lots of good stuff with lots of community-oriented stuff. And she got in touch with us and asked if she could launch Giving Tuesday Kids. And we were like, of course. So that's half our job, is just the amazing people who take it upon themselves to do great work like Giving Tuesday Kids and Giving Tuesday Military. And we just sit there and think like, well, how can we help make them successful? How can we integrate them into the broader community, network them with our other networks so that Giving Tuesday Kids, for example, and Giving Tuesday Military also become part of each other? So it becomes this situation of just exponential growth where with people who would probably normally never interact with each other.
That is so cool. And I kind of feel bad. I've been in the Navy over 20 years and I have not heard of Giving Tuesday Military. So if I haven't heard of it, that means that some of my listeners haven't heard of it. So that's great that we're talking about this.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for more people to find out about Giving Tuesday Military and take part in it. Because the people who are running it are obviously running it with like not a marketing budget and you know a vast advertising machine or anything. They're just doing everything organically, grassroots, community, word of mouth. So that's a big tent too. Like it's not about who aligns, you know, politically or anything like that. It's really just about people who want to improve culture on military bases, bring, you know, all kinds of good things to those particular communities. And I think make the communities also feel connected with each other, even if they're a world apart.
I know how important that is to me. You know, like I started this podcast while I was stationed in the Middle East, while I was in Bahrain, because I was doing nonprofit things stateside. And I got over there and I was like, how can I do something to still impact the nonprofit world? And I came up with this.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, thank you. And I bring a great guest like yourself so I can, you know, increase my network and get those good ideas out there and help really spread the ideas that are going to make nonprofits better. So I really, really love what you're doing. Have you heard any arguments for reasons not to participate in Giving Tuesday?
Well, only ones I disagree with.
You know, yeah. People, They can take any good idea and turn it into a bad idea if they try hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, of course I have. I've heard lots of ideas of why not to engage with Giving Tuesday. And I have to say, like, my mission is like in life is far from trying to convince people to do things that they don't want to do. You know, I think people do much better with Giving Tuesday when they come to it with lots of enthusiasm and energy for the idea. I think sometimes people feel like they're just like, it's their job to raise a lot of money on Giving Tuesday, and they feel pressured by the more senior people in their organization to do it. And that's coming at it from a place of obligation and not inspiration. And so that, I think we sense some resistance from that perspective sometimes. And I totally respect that. Nobody wants to do something because, you know, their boss is telling them to do it. I think it partly is because there is some misperception around what Giving Tuesday is. So I think it is perceived by some as being a fundraising day. And it's not that it's not a fundraising day. It's just not only a fundraising day, right? And looking at it as just a fundraising day really detracts from the totality of what it is. So when we hear people feel resistant to it, it is normally for that reason, right? We don't need to put all our eggs in the basket of one fundraising day. You know, there's too much noise on that day. You know, we won't be able to distinguish ourselves. Our data doesn't even show that that's correct, by the way, but that is one perception. Only big organizations will do well because they have big marketing budgets. Also not at all true, you know, according to the data that we have, but again, a completely understandable assumption. But I think that when you have kind of let yourself take a little journey to a different mindset about Giving Tuesday and think of it really as a movement that is about a value that can transform our lives, right? If we think about the way our world would look different if every decision, every behavior, every action, every day-to-day movement was based on a feeling of solidarity and mutuality with other people. Like how different that world would look. And maybe fundraising is a part of that world for sure, because nonprofit organizations do amazing work in the world and they need to be resourced, right? But it's not the totality of what the thing itself is about. So that's where I hear the most sort of resistance, you know, and I always say, like, if you're a development person or a nonprofit leader and you don't like the idea of Giving Tuesday in terms of your nonprofit, that's fine. Don't do it, right? But maybe make a casserole for your neighbor, right? Or maybe talk to your kids about giving at the dinner table, right? Or maybe call, you know, all your elderly relatives just to say, I love you. Like, there's a ton of ways to express generosity, right? Other than, you know, feeling obligated via your organization. So I always say, like, you know, the invitation to take part in Giving Tuesday is extended to you as a human being, not just a representative of an organization.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had a former guest on the show, Angie Francesco. She does the Squam Lakes Association. She doesn't use Giving Tuesday as a fundraiser, but she uses it as a time of year to give thanks to all our donors and their participation throughout the year. So where they might be expecting that ping for money, they're getting a huge thank you at the same time. You know, and she's knowing that in 2 weeks from that day, she's actually doing her big push for their end of year money. But takes the focal point of what Giving Tuesday is and uses this day of gratitude. So I love that.
And I think that, you know, one of my pet peeves is when I hear people say, we don't do Giving Tuesday, we use it as a day of thanks. I say, then you are doing a Giving Tuesday campaign, because giving thanks is a way of expressing generosity. Like, to me, the what generosity means is the giving of something that you have that will mean something to someone else. And gratitude is one of those things. You have it and you can choose whether you express it or you don't express it. So we've seen tons of organizations have so much luck, even financial luck, by using it as a day of gratitude. It's always a wonderful way, a low resource way to celebrate the day, to be taking part in the global movement, but not in a way that you feel like it's just simply not going to work with your fiscal plan, right? Which is, it's completely understandable, completely respectable, completely fine.
Oh, absolutely. So what's on the horizon for you and Giving Tuesday?
Well, we have some very big plans for this year, some very big areas of strategic focus. And of course, with the pandemic, we had to reassess last year and really look at everything that we had had planned. And some things made it through and some things didn't. But our big plan for this year is not a new dream. We've been thinking about this for a long time and seeing it really happen organically to a large extent, but really feeling like we're going to place a lot more investment in it, which is the idea that every Tuesday is Giving Tuesday. Which is to say, it's not that we are not going to have that day, that one day of celebration that falls after Black Friday. We always will. And we describe that day, by the way, as like a wedding anniversary, right? That it's a celebration of something that you're still paying attention to all year round. So we've always thought of Giving Tuesday as a year-round, everyday thing with this one big day of celebration. One of the biggest misconceptions of it is that it is literally just that one day, right? I've had people say like, well, what does your organization even do the rest of the year? And I'm like, well, we're trying to inspire a more generous world. But yes, no, I get your question. So our network of global leaders and community leaders, our Giving Tuesday military, our Giving Tuesday kids, all of the other parts of Giving Tuesday are active all year long. And so our vision is sort of, what if we collectively as a country, as a world, thought of Tuesdays as the day that you woke up and thought to yourself, what good can I do today? That it was just the day of the week that you woke up to be generous, just like for some people, Sunday is the day that you wake up and think about worshiping, or Saturday is the day that you wake up and think about worshiping, or et cetera, whatever day fits. You know, or that, you know, certain days are a day of rest, like that you're just, it's very ingrained. Not because we think that it shouldn't be ingrained every single day, but because there's something really powerful about making habits, right? So right now, Giving Tuesday is a holiday. It's an annual holiday where there's a huge tidal wave of generosity, and it's incredibly meaningful. And it is the only holiday, if you think of it in those terms, that is open to absolutely everyone on earth. Like, there's simply no other day that the entire world celebrates together. Every person, every community can take part in it. Not a single one, right? Everyone is either to do with a nation or to do with a religion. And this one isn't, right? It's really like truly open to everyone. So if we think about taking Giving Tuesday from being an annual holiday to being a weekly ritual, then we're really creating and ingraining a powerful generosity habit in ourselves and the people around us that eventually will bleed into every day of our lives, because it just becomes so automatic, right? To just be thinking about what it means. And we have this conversation on our team. Like, what does it mean to be generous every day, right? Does it mean you're a saint, right? Does it mean you're the Dalai Lama to be generous all the time? And we feel like it's not something that's extra work. It's something that should bring joy and peace to your daily life, right? To think of the feelings and the existence of other people, you know, all the time, that it's just, that it's not a special thing. It's just something that you do. And when there's a chance to make somebody else's day a little bit brighter, then you do that. And it can be so small, those kinds of actions. So last Giving Tuesday, one of my favorite pictures, it was actually on a military base. One of my favorite pictures was a picture of a laundry slot machine. And somebody had put 4 coins in the slot machine and left a little note that said, just because it's Giving Tuesday, do some laundry and like paid for the next person's laundry. Like, that's not a massive gift, right? It's not a massive act at all, but it's an act that says, I care about other people. I'm doing this because I'm going to brighten a stranger's day even a little bit, right? And just think about if we all did that all the time, not the coins specifically, but...
I love all the different ways it manifests. And I love that people ask you what you do the rest of the year. That's like a pastor hearing, what do you do all week? You only work on Sunday, which we know is not true at all. But I mean, you take, you know, the pay it forward model, or the drive-through that pays for the lunch for the person behind them, and you ingrain that and you take over Taco Tuesday, and it's Giving Tuesday every week. And just imagine the world that we can create when we come from a place of gratitude and giving.
Yeah, that's our dream. I'm glad you share it, Travis.
I'm glad you're well on your way, and I'm glad I can help. You know, I really feel that it's my mission to help the helpers, you know, deliver their services better. I know that when I was a kid, there was always someone willing to keep us sheltered, clothed, and fed. And if it wasn't for those organizations, I wouldn't be where I am. So I try to do everything I can to build the organizations that would take care of the me as a kid.
Yeah, agreed. I had the same experience, which probably explains why where we are, where we are now.
Yeah, it explains the real joy that we see on our faces. Real joy, not pretend joy, not service joy. No, like, oh, nice to meet you. It's legitimate joy that you see in our faces when they light up. Asha, this is fantastic. Where can people get a hold of you? Where can people find you in Giving Tuesday?
Yeah, so we're just at givingtuesday.org, and you know, come visit, come get ideas, and you know, we're on all the social media and stuff as well. Well worth following, because we try to put as much heartwarming content out there and ideas and things like that as we possibly can. When we hear about something beautiful or meaningful happening in the world, we always try to share it, just to bring some joy to other people's days and get them to stop doom scrolling for a little bit and appreciate that there are actually good things happening with good people.
That's wonderful. Hey, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today.
You're so welcome. I really
enjoyed this. Absolutely.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Travis.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.